بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading the treatise by عبد الله الوديعية حفظها الله تعالى. نصيحتي للنساء، my advice to the women. We continue readings under the main topic. The author, she has mentioned, من أفات اللسان, from the ills of the tongue, from the ills of the tongue. We begin the 8th chapter under this title, and she has mentioned حفظها الله تعالى التقعر وتشدق في الكلام. نعم، التقعر وتشدق في الكلام. التقعر يعني يتعمق, and to go deep into the speech and deep into the meanings and the likes like this, and to strive to delve into speech with deep understanding and going beyond the legislated limits. And likewise, at tashadduqu, yani being arrogant and boastful, or also yani transgressing the limits with regards to speech, fil kalam. At taqa'ur wa tashadduqu fil kalam. So النووي رحمه الله تعالى, in his explanation of رياض الصالحين, he mentioned about التشدق والمتشدق, the one who does that action of التشدق. يعني he said رحمه الله المتطاول على الناس بكلامه ويتكلم بملء فيه تفاسحا وتعاظما لكلامه. يعني المتشدق, the one that performs this action of التشدق. First we should know الشدق. الشدق is the place in the mouth where the lips meet, on the sides. On the sides of the mouth, where the two lips meet, in the corner of the mouth, this is called الشدق. والمتشدق, النووي رحمه الله تعالى, he says, المتطاول على الناس بكلامه. The one who is boasting and bragging and considers himself above the people and better than the people, but he does this with by way of speech. Whenever he speaks in this manner, displaying his self and his eloquence and his speech to clarify that he is above the people and that he is better than the people, that his rank is higher than others, and he displays that with his speech. نعم, and he says here ويتكلم بملء فيه, he speaks with his mouth full. يعني this is an expression, speaking with his mouth full, تفاسحا, يعني trying to display his eloquence. And likewise, تعظما لكلامه, and magnifying and venerating his own speech. And this is one of the interpretations of this word, التشدق, and the one who performs that, المتشدق. المتشدق. Likewise, he mentioned, رحمه الله, also he says, وقيل المتوسع في الكلام من غير احتياط واحتراز. Also, from the meaning of المتشدق, is the one who he speaks a lot in abundance, without having any regards or being cautious or careful with regards to transgressing the limits. He doesn't have any regards to the limits, and he speaks freely and openly. And both of these meanings have been mentioned from the ulama with regards to التشدق. Also, another meaning that he mentioned, رحمه الله, هو المستهزئ بالناس يلوي شدقه بهم وعليهم. That also, what has been mentioned about that is that he will, the متشدق is the one who mimics the people, and he moves his mouth left and right, and the sides of his mouth like that, and whenever he's imitating them and mocking them and making mockery of them, he'll move his mouth in this manner, mocking the people with his speech and with his tongue and with his lips in this manner. So in any case, this issue of التشدق, this is a blameworthy affair. This is a blameworthy affair with regards to being arrogant and boastful and showing off with one's speech and trying to go to extreme details to display one's eloquence or one's command of the language that he's speaking, particularly in the Arabic language, but also with regards to any language, and to speak with big words, like they say in English, you speak with big, using big words that only certain people will understand, and so on and so forth. This is in order to display somebody's eloquence and his command and power over this particular language and the usage of this language or his knowledge of vocabulary and so on and so forth, all of this is blameworthy. All of this is blameworthy. To go to extremes with regards to that and to have this foul intention likewise, and then to use the tongue in this manner and the mouth in this manner, this is not from the praiseworthy affairs. Rather, this is min afati adisan, from the ills of the tongue. And also any the first word here, وتقعر, يعني تقعر, يعني تعمق, to go into detail, to go into great details and delve deep into the affairs and to be meticulous and to find and minute details and ask about every single last little issue and to dissect the issues and details and the likes like this, not searching for the truth but rather having a foul intention and the likes like this of displaying somebody's ability to speak or to understand affairs or also finding fault with particular issues in the text, عياذا بالله, all of this is blameworthy. So she mentions that التقعر والتشدق في الكلام, التقعر والتشدق في الكلام. She says قال الإمام مسلم رحمه الله مع شرح النووي, and in this she mentioned the reference في المجلد السادس عشر صفحة 2200 مع شرح النووي. الإمام مسلم, he says رحمه الله, حدثنا أبو بكر ابن أبي شيبة قال حدثنا حفص بن غياث ويحيى بن سعيد عن ابن جريج عن سليمان بن عتيق عن طلق بن حبيب عن الأحنف بن قيس عن عبد الله وهو بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هلك المتنطعون قالها ثلاثا. That she mentioned the chain of Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala to the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and he said that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said halaka al-mutanatti'un qalaha thalathan, that those who go to extremes are doomed, those who go to extremes they are doomed, yani they will be destroyed. That they will be destroyed. That those who go to extremes and they go into minute details and the likes and the affairs of the deen particularly, then they will be destroyed. Halaka al-mutanatti'un. Qalaha thalathan. He said it three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halaka al-mutanatti'un. Halaka al-mutanatti'un. Halaka al-mutanatti'un. Yani those who go to extremes in the deen and the affairs of the speech likewise, with regards to speech and action, then may they be destroyed, or they will be destroyed in this manner. So she says, وَقَوْلُهُ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ, yani the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, المتنطعون, قال النووي, she mentioned the statement of النووي رحمه الله, أي المتعمقون الغالون المتجاوزون الحدود في أقوالهم وأفعالهم. Halaka, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said again, halaka al-mutanatti'un. She mentioned the interpretation of this word, al-mutanatti'un, by al-Hafidh al-Nawawi, and he said, rahimahullah, ay al-mutaammiqun, those who go into deep details in the speech, al-ghaloon, and they transgress the limits, al-mutajawizuna al-hudud, they transgress the limits, and they go beyond that which is legislated, fi aqwalihim wa af'alihim, with regards to their statements as well as their actions. So al-mutanatti' is the one who goes into minute and meticulous details in the affairs, and also goes by way of that beyond the limits that are legislated, and goes beyond the boundaries of that which is permissible. Yani by going into these minute details and being meticulous in the affairs, that he has left the Sharia and gone outside of the legislation with regards to his speech and with regards to his actions. With regards to his speech and with regards to his actions. Likewise, it has been mentioned by An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, that he says, فِيهِ كَرَاهَةُ التَقَعُرُ فِي الْكَلَامِ بِالتَّشَدُّقُ وَالتَّكَلُّفْ الْفَصَّحَةِ وَاسْتِعْمَالِ وَحْشِئِ اللُّغَةِ وَالدَّقَائِكِ الْإِعْرَابِ فِي مُخَاطَبَةِ الْعَوَامِ. That, also from the benefit of this narration, halaka al-mutanatti'un, that those people who go to extremes, they will be destroyed. they'll be destroyed, and in the destruction of those people who go to extremes in their speech as well as in their actions, going to extremes in meaning transgressing the limits that have been legislated and not sufficing with that which has come in the Quran and in the Sunnah and in the understanding of the Sahaba and as Salaf al-Salih. Rather, they transgress that and they go beyond that with regards to their speech and their understanding of the text, and also with regards to the words that they use and the manner that they speak, and also with regards to their actions and their deeds in worship and in dealings and so on and so forth. He says, فِيهِ كَرَهَةُ التَّقَعُرْ فِي الْكَلَامِ بِالتَّشَدُّقِ. It's from the benefits of this narration is that it's disliked to go to delve deep into the speech and to go and to be meticulous and the likes and with the speech, بِالتَّشَدُّقِ also. And he's striving to use those the speech that will display one's ability and his eloquence. وَتَكَلُّ فِي الْفَصَاحَةِ, and pretending to be eloquent and pretending and striving to have a command over the language that one does not have. And he's going to extremes to display that. And he's going to extremes to display that. And also using the language or the words that are not used commonly. Picking words that one would speak in his speech, who use words that are not commonly used or not understood by the layman and the likes like this, and he to display his command of the language and his knowledge of the affairs, and also with regards to the detailed aspects of I'rab, using these detailed aspects of I'rab whenever he's speaking with the layman. Whenever one is speaking with the layman, and in the layman they do not understand these affairs, and they're not people who any that requires for an individual to use big speech and big words and complicated words to express the affairs and the issues, particularly in the deen, and to use words that are not commonly used. And the fact that a person, he will try to beautify his speech in this manner and going to extremes to do that and choosing to use words and the methodology of speech that is not known to the people generally, and he going outside that which is known and the customs of the people, and using these words that is not commonly used in the society and the likes like this, this is all a sign of riya and a sign of sum'ah, showing off and wanting to be heard. Yani with the speech and trying to be eloquent, and this is all blameworthy, and this is what is being referred to here when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, halaka al-mutanati'un, halaka al-mutanati'un. And these people they'll be destroyed, and this is from the understanding and the meaning that's being referred to here. And this is the point of evidence of mentioning this particular hadith under this chapter and under the affair and the subject of afat al-lisan. That the people who move their tongue in this manner to display their eloquence and choose the words that in this manner that show their command and their eloquence and the likes of a particular language, then this is blameworthy, especially with that intention. This is blameworthy. But to have eloquence and to speak clearly in a manner that is beneficial for the people to understand and to relay the affairs of the deen in the clearest and best manner, and sometimes and this requires eloquence and balagha, this is, and fasaha, this is something that is praiseworthy. This is something that is good. So there's a line in this issue. And this is with regards to going to extremes. And this is with regards to transgressing the limits. And this is with regards to tashabbu'u bima lam yu'ta. That a person, he will pretend to have something that he does not have. And he will pretend to have the eloquence and he is not eloquent himself. So he will strive to be eloquent. And he pretending that he's eloquent. And the likes like this. Or going beyond the limits with regards to that eloquence. And with regards to speech. And going to the limits with regards to choosing vocabulary words to express a particular issue and affair. That لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ, that every situation there is a statement for that affair, or there is a type of speech that one would use. So whenever a person is dealing with the layman or is dealing with a particular type of individuals, he should know those people and he should speak to them in a manner that is most understood to them and that is most clear and well known to them, so that the message comes across to them clearly. And this is truly fasaha and this is truly balagha. So from the true eloquence and the true beauty of speech is that a person, he will convey the message to the people who are listening to him. yani in the manner, in the best manner, in the easiest way for them to understand. So based upon that, al-balagha wal-fasaha with regards to speaking to children is not by using big, large words or the likes like this or narrating long narrations, but rather to convey the message and the understanding of those narrations in a manner that children will understand. This would be considered balagh and fasaha. Yani to break down those words and to mention them in a manner that is understood by a child of the age that one is speaking to. And likewise, whenever a person is speaking with the wealthy or the people of extravagance, then he will speak to them, or businessmen or people who have lots of knowledge of the affairs of the dunya, for example, he will speak to them with knowledge that he knows or that they understand. And likewise, people who come from the hood or come from the ghetto, sometimes a person, he has to deal with them and speak to them in a bit of a different tone or manner in order for the message to come across to them. And he wouldn't speak to them in the same manner. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he said, "Innaka ta'ti qawman min ahli kitab," that verily you're coming to a people from the people of the book. And he said, this is to notify him of the type of people that he's going to, so that he can address them properly. So then, any true fasaha and true balagha and eloquence and beauty and speech is by addressing every individual according to the manner that he understands and that's beneficial for him, so that the message can come across clearly. So to be eloquent and to speak with beautiful speech, this is something that's praiseworthy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, afsahun nas, he's the most eloquent of the people in speech. And he had the most beautiful speech and the most beneficial speech, and the most clearest of clarification from his speech, from the creation, from the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that was without going to extremes or pretending to have and having takalluf and pretending to have some knowledge or to have some ability he did not have, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, he had that ability and he spoke in that manner. So one must pay attention to this affair. And even we see that this is something that is understood and known, and it is something that is desired and required for a caller or a teacher, or likewise a parent who is cultivating and raising their child, or someone who is a teacher and teaching, likewise, that they will have that ability to convey the message in the clearest manner, that which they're teaching and the affairs that they're explaining, that they will have the ability linguistically in the language that they're speaking to convey that message clearly. And even Musa alayhi salam, he made dua like this: Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. That he made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, Musa alayhi salam, "Oh Allah, give me ease in my chest and make my affair easy for me, and untie the knot of my tongue so that they may understand." And give me the ability to speak clearly and fluently, so that they will be able to understand the message that I'm giving them. So hoping for the people to understand a person whenever he is calling them to the truth or calling them to the good or prohibiting them from the evil and the likes like this, this is something that is required and something that is praiseworthy. The issue here in this chapter, how it comes to be from the affairs of afat al-lisan and the ills of the tongue, is whenever a person goes to extreme in that affair. Whenever a person goes to extreme in that affair. And the ulama, they say, كُلُّ مَا زَادَ عَلَى حَدِّهِ انْقَلَبَ إِلَى ضِدِّهِ, that everything that goes beyond its limit, it turns into its opposite. So whenever being eloquent and in moderation, according to the legislation, with a beautiful intention likewise, and that the message would be understood and conveyed properly, then this is praiseworthy. But whenever it goes beyond that limit, whenever this issue goes beyond that limit, now it becomes blameworthy. Now it becomes blameworthy. Whenever a person, he has the intention to display his language, not so that the truth can be clarified and so the haqq can be made clear for the people and it's easy for them to comprehend and understand with hopes that they will follow it, rather so that a person's status will be known and so that a person will be praised and so that the people will say, "MashaAllah, he has such a great command of the language," or "Look at his vocabulary, I never heard anybody speak so eloquently like Fulan," and so on and so forth. All of this is blameworthy. All of this is blameworthy. Although this is blameworthy, this is what is mentioned here. Halaka al mutanafi'un. These people, they will be destroyed. They go to extremes. They go beyond the limits with regards to their speech and with regards to their actions. Likewise, in this same subject or with regards to the same affair or this issue, it has also been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr al-As radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ الْبَرِيغَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ الَّذِي يَتَخَلَّلُ بِلِسَانِهِ كَمَنْ تَتَخَلَّلُ الْبَقَرَةِ. He said that verily, this, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, verily Allah, he detests al-baligha min al-rijal, al-baligha, al-baligh min al-rijal, from the men. الَّذِي يَتَخَلَّلُ بِلِسَانِهِ كَمَا تَتَخَلَّلُ الْبَقَرَةُ. The one who he moves his tongue around in his mouth whenever he speaks, the way the cow moves its tongue around in its mouth. Naam, yani the cow, whenever it eats, how does it eat? It eats with its tongue. It sticks out its tongue and it grabs its food, and then the cow likewise, it will wrap its in its mouth. It will lick its gums and lick its teeth, and it sticks its tongue out of its mouth and it licks its mouth in this manner like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is making the resemblance to the person who has this trait of showing off with regards to speech and going to extremes with regards to eloquence and speech and the likes like this, that he's like a cow like this, sticking his tongue, his mouth is full of his own tongue, and moving his tongue and his mouth like this to display the beautiful speech and going to the extremes with regards to pronouncing every makhraj properly and crisply, and in order for the people to praise them and the likes like this. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say about this individual? Inna Allah yubghidu al-baligh min al-rijal, that verily Allah, he hates that person. Al-baligh, al-baligh literally, and he is the one who is the eloquent one, but what is being referred to here is the one who goes to extremes. Al-baligh ay al-mubaligh fi fasahat al-kalam wa balaghatihi, the one who goes to extremes with regards to eloquence and beautiful speech. Naam, so the one that goes to extremes with regards to eloquence and beautiful speech, going beyond the limits with regards to that, and he said from rijal min al-rijal, but likewise from the women as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned from the men, because then the majority of the time this occurs from them. But likewise, the women are included. Now, the ones who go to extremes in order to display their fasaha and their balagha and their eloquence and their beautiful speech and their command of the language and their makharij and their point that how well they are in articulating the letters and so on and so forth, particularly in the Arabic language specifically, but likewise even in the English language too, or whatever language may be, that this person, Allah dislikes him. Yubghidu Allah, inna Allah yubghidu badiq. Naam, that Allah detests that person. That Allah detests that person. So, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about him that he moves his tongue around in his mouth, licking his lips in his mouth the same way the cow does. And he resembling the one who does that and displaying his speech and going beyond the limits with regards to speech in this manner. And not only that, he's detestful to Allah azza wa jalla, likewise the Prophet, he resembled this person to a cow, to an animal like this. To an animal, like to a cow. Who sticks his tongue out, licking his lips and the likes like this. Naam? And that he will move his mouth around in this manner to display his speech and to display how beautiful and eloquent he is and how much of a command he has over the language and his ability to pronounce the letters and the words, and likewise his knowledge of the vocabulary and the details that he understands with regards to the language and so on and so forth. All of this is blameworthy. All of this is blameworthy. So this is with regards to the aspect of speech. Yani, but the and this is the shahid, or the point of evidence or reference with regards to this hadith being mentioned in this chapter, and the likes. But likewise, as we see from the statement of An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, it's not specific to speech. Rather, at-tanattu' and the likes, going into extremes and going into great details and being meticulous and the likes like this, and going to minute details in the affairs, also can occur in actions as well. Also can occur in actions as well. And all of this is blameworthy. And all of this is blameworthy. Naam, and it is not praiseworthy. And it's been mentioned by As-San'ani rahimahullah ta'ala that he said, al-mutanatti'un hum al-mutaammiquna al-kha'iduna fima la yanihim, that the one al-mutanatti'una, they are the ones who go and delve deep into the affairs and that do not concern them. Waqila al-mubaligoona fi ibadatihim bihaythu yakhrujuna an qawaneen al-shari'ah, that they are the ones who go to extremes likewise and transgress the limits with regards to actions of worship. With regards to actions of worship, and they have left the limits of the regulations. أقوال وأفعال with regards to statements and actions, and it's similar to what An-Nawawi had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is a warning from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he mentioned about those people who go to extremes and they go to the minute details, and they delve into the speech in this manner, and likewise the actions, as well as those who transgress the limits in eloquence and in the beautification of the speech, and hoping to be heard and to be seen and to be known for this manner, and thinking that one is better, and moving their tongue and their mouth and their lips in this manner, mocking others or belittling others, and displaying one's authority in speech and the likes like this. All of this is blameworthy. Naam, and he said, halaka al-mutanafi'un, yani halaku fid-deen, meaning they're destroyed in the deen, and their deen is destroyed. This is the meaning of Sanani. He mentioned, كَمَا هَلَكَ رَبَّانِيَّ وَنَحُهُمْ. Nams, just like those people, the monks, they were also destroyed when they went to extremes. They don't get married, they left society, they stay on their own, they don't have children, and they don't have relationships, and they seclude themselves for worship. Oh, this is going to extremes. That's not legislated. This is not legislated. This is going beyond the limits. So that's an example of that affair. But in any case, going outside the limits of the legislation, this is what is being referred to here with regards to speech and with regards to action. With regards to speech and with regards to action. So we benefit from this narration that that these affairs, they're blameworthy and they're not praiseworthy. And this is a warning for a Muslim, male and female, that they should be cautious from that with regards to the speech and with regards to action, that they do not transgress the limits, that they do not go beyond that which is permissible, and they do not go beyond that which is legislated in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is being referred to so far, we discussed about the issue, is with regards to speech. And also we have seen the statement of Sanani with regards to ibadah. And likewise the statement of An-Nawawi rahimahullah, that also this is in reference to actions as well. With regards to actions as well. And one of those aspects that the ulama, they have mentioned with regards to this affair, is going into these minute details and striving to understand the affairs of the unseen. And this is something that is very dangerous. And this is something that is... a means that will lead a person to misguidance, iyadhin billah, transgressing the limits with regards to understanding the affairs of the unseen, and not sufficing with that which has been mentioned in the authentic text, and in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and not sufficing oneself with the understanding of as-salaf as-salih, and going beyond that in the understanding of the affairs of the unseen. This is a means for misguidance, and this is a means for deviation, and a means for deviation. So for an example of this is asking about the reality of the soul, for example. How is the soul, and what does the soul look like? We have not been informed the details of the soul. We have been informed that Allah is the one who created the soul, and by way of the soul, the body has life, and the life's like this, but we have not been given the minute details and the affair of the affairs of the soul. The reality of the soul is from the affairs of the unseen. يعني حقيقة الروح, حقيقة الروح من الأمور الغيبية. Also the reality of the Jannah and the Nar, and the punishment of the grave, any that which has been narrated to us and that which has been mentioned to us, then this is all we have to understand that. Also the description of the angels, so on and so forth. And the limit for a believer with regards to these affairs of the unseen is that he will stop at the text and he will not go beyond that. And the understanding of that text of a believer will be restricted to the understanding of those who have narrated that to us from the companions and the tabi'in and tabi'at tabi'in, yani from the narrators of hadith. They're the ones who have transmitted these narrations to us, and their understanding is the understanding that is correct. So then a believer, he will suffice with that, and he will not go beyond that, and he'll be aware that he will fall under this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halaka al-mutanafi'un. Halaka al-mutanafi'un. Likewise, going to extremes and asking about how or the reality of the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the likes like this, and asking about how the Allah's knowledge is, or how His hearing is, or His hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is misguidance. And the question about that is not permissible. And all of that is from tanattu' and going to extremes with al-mujawaza, al-hudud, going beyond the limits with regards to that. And this is something that is very, very dangerous. This is something that is very, very dangerous. As for delving into the text and striving to understand them, particularly from the ulama, and the students of knowledge, and also particularly from the high-ranking scholars who have reached the level of ijtihad. And they delve and they look into the text of the Quran with the intention of understanding that which Allah has ordained and regulated, and that which Allah has commanded and made obligatory, and that which He has made permissible or impermissible, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to look into the text in detail to understand the different affairs that are similar and those that are different and not similar, to be able to find a correct qiyas and analogy to understand the rulings of current affairs that befall the Muslims, and so on and so forth. And all of this is good and praiseworthy, and this is not any being referred to and delving into the text and going into detailed and minute affairs. So also there's a difference between the two. There's an aspect of that that is praiseworthy when a person that is qualified to delve into the text and to look into the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the Sahaba and the scholars of Hadith in order to find rulings and derive rulings and the likes like this, then this is praiseworthy. In order to know the truth and in order to follow it, then this is praiseworthy, and this is not blameworthy, especially for those scholars who have reached the level of ijtihad, or those scholars who are striving to clarify the reality of a particular issue to the ummah, or the likes like this, then this is something that is praiseworthy. As for going into details beyond that and the likes, and to go into details in a manner that was not done by the companions, then this is not praiseworthy. This is not praiseworthy. And it's been mentioned also from the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَتَنَطُّعُ إِيَّاكُمْ وَتَعَمُّقُ, and you have to be aware from going to extremes, and go be aware of delving deep into the affairs. وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْعَتِيقِ, and you have to stick with that which is, you should hold fast with that which is atiq, any ancient, meaning the way of the companions. The way of the companions. So this would be the limit in these affairs. And you do not go delving deep into the deep into the affairs. And this was also the understanding of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. Whenever that man, he came in and he asked about the sifa of al-istiwa, and he said ar-Rahmanu ala arshi istawa, kayfa istawa, how did ar-Rahman, the most gracious, rose above his throne, how did he rise above the throne? And the story is well known, and Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, which he mentioned, he says al-istiwa'u ma'lum, to the meaning of al-istiwa, yani irtafa'a wa'ala, it is known that to rise, he rose, meaning that the meaning in the Arabic language is known. وَالْكَيْفِيَّ majhul, as for غَيْرُ ma'kul, and as for how that occurred, then this is not, we can't comprehend that, or we do not know that or understand that. وَالْإِمَانُ بِهِ wajib, and to believe in that is an obligation. نَعْمْ وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ, and this is the shahid for this particular issue, وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِالدِّعَاهِ, and to ask about that is an innovation. So Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, from Atba'i Tabi'in, he died in the year 179. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned to ask about how the attribute of al-istiwa is a bid'ah. Why is that? Because the companions, they did not ask about that. And this is what we're speaking about now. And this is what Ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiyallahu anhu wa alaykum bil-atiq, and you have to hold fast. You should hold fast to that which is ancient, and meaning that which has come from the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إياكم وتنطوع وإياكم والتعمق وعليكم بالعتيق. This is what Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he advised his students. Now that he should be cautious from being meticulous and going into great details and minute details and transgressing the limits in that, and be careful and stay away from delving deep into trying to have this deep understanding or going deeply into the affairs and the likes like this, but rather you should hold fast to that which the companions were upon. And the way that they delve into the text, and the way that they strove to understand the text, and the way that they benefited from the Quran and the Sunnah, this is the haqq, and this is the correct way that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And anything that goes beyond that, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that those type of people will be destroyed. Those type of people, they will be destroyed. Naam, that this is not permissible. This is not permissible. Naam, and like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also been mentioned, yani, with regards to the affairs of the unseen, and the likes and the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the way that shaitan will deal with a person, trying to cause him to go to extremes in creed and in aqidah, and the likes like this, trying to destroy him and trying to mislead him and misguide him. Likewise, it has been narrated in Sahih Muslim by the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا يزال الناس يسألون حتى يقال هذا خلق الله فمن خلق الله فمن وجد من ذلك شيئا فليقل آمنت بالله. That it has come that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the people are going to keep on asking questions over and over until it will be said, oh, this is the creation of Allah. So who created Allah? And then whoever finds that, whoever this came to him, then he should say, I believe in Allah. And if someone, if this idea came to somebody, what should he do? I believe in Allah. Naam? And he, and likewise in one narration it has come that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا هَذَا اللَّهُ خَلَقَنَا هَذَا اللَّهُ خَلَقَنَا فَمَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ. Now that the people, they're going to keep asking about knowledge and asking about knowledge until they are going to say that this is Allah, He created us. So who created Allah? And in one narration, likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيَسْأُلَنَّكَ أَوْ لَيَسْأُلُنَّكَ نعم excuse me لا يسألنك الناس عن كل شيء حتى يقولوا الله خلق كل شيء الله خلق كل شيء فمن خلقه. That verily Allah, He created everything, so who created Him? That this is going to be said, this is going into details, this is going way beyond that which is legislated, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned about that. And also in warm wording in Sahih Bukhari, that it has come that he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yati ash-shaytanu ahadakum, that shaytan will come to one of you. So this is the clarification that this is coming from shaytan. This is not from somebody's cleverness and from how swift he is and how bright he is, that he will think deep about his issues like this. This is from shaytan that he would cause a person to think like this. نعم فيقول من خلق كذا من خلق كذا حتى يقول من خلق ربك. The shaytan will come to one of you and he will say, who created this? Oh, who created that? All the way to the extent that he will say, who created your Lord? فإذا بلغه فليستعذ بالله ولينتهي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if this reaches him, then let him seek refuge with Allah and stop there. Stop there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-awwal laysa qablahu shay, wa huwa al-akhir laysa ba'dahu shay. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the first, there's nothing before Him. And He is the last, there's nothing after Him. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Naam, that He is alive with no beginning. Al-hayy الذي لا يموت. And He is alive with no beginning and no ending, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He never dies. There's nothing like Him. لم يكن له كفوا أحد. There's nothing like Him whatsoever. A believer cannot understand this reality. But he can look into the reality around him from the creation, and he will understand that Allah is Akbar. That Allah is the creator of all things. And that, and then after coming to this reality, likewise, along with pondering over the evidences in the Quran, he will see that Allah, He is the creator of all things. And the creator of all things, He is not created. He is not created. And everything that is alive by the permission of Allah. And Allah has given it life. That He is alive. Al-Hayy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ladhi la yamut, the one who never dies. Wa huwa al-Yuhyi, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who gives life. Wal-Mumitu, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who gives death. And the affair is in His hand entirely. And everything is under His command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the issue here, not to go into minute details with regards to the affairs of creed particularly, and delving into the affairs of the unseen, and from that the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now that we have been warned from that, and this is not praiseworthy, rather this is blameworthy. It has been mentioned by Ishaq ibn Rahoya, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 238. He said, rahimahullah, la yujuzu tafakkuru fil khaliqi. We pay attention. This is important and very beneficial. He says that it's not permissible to ponder or to think about the creator. Yani to think about the creator in a manner that has not been revealed to us. Yani لا يجوز التفكر في الخالق. It's not allowed for you to ponder over the creator. ويجوز للعباد ان يتفكروا في المخلوقين. نعم بما سمعوا فيهم. But it is permissible for the servants to ponder and to think deeply about the creation and that which they know from them and heard from them. وَلَا يَزِيدُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. But they don't go beyond that. They don't go beyond that. So to ponder, to think deeply, this is with regards to the creation. to think deeply about the creation and to ponder over the reality of life and death and the lives like this, this is praiseworthy. But what is blameworthy and what is not permissible is to ponder to think deeply about the Creator, because one can never understand Him greater than that which He has revealed to us. So then a believer, with regards to understanding Allah Azza wa Jal, this is restricted to the legislation and to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba, along with the rest of the affairs of the unseen and the affairs of Iman. Now, that is in the same manner. So if a person wants to ponder over something, he should ponder over the creation and not over the Creator. He should ponder over the creation, and from this one will come to the conclusion of the greatness and the magnificence of the Creator. In this manner, this is the way that is legislated. And they did not go beyond that. لِأَنَّهُمْ إِن فَعَلُوا تَاهُوا. Because if they went beyond that, they will be misguided. The statement of Ibn Rahoya, it continues, رحمه الله تعالى. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. For example, he mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that there is nothing except that it glorifies His praise. And there's nothing in the earth, in the heavens and the earth, except that it glorifies the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. نعم. So Ibn Rahoya, رحمه الله تعالى, says, وَلَا يُجُوزُ أَنْ يُقَالَ كَيْفَ تَسْبِيحُ الْقِصَاعِ وَالْأَخْوِينَ. And he said, well, it's not permissible to ask about the way of the tasbih of the qisa' or of the akhwina, the tables and the pots and the likes like this. It's not permissible to ask about how these things make tasbih. Now, how to make the bowls, and how do the bowls, and how do the tables, and if Allah, He says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ, there's nothing whatsoever except that it glorifies the praises of Allah. And then it's not permissible for a person to say, okay, well, how do the bowls, and how do the tables, and the likes, والخبز, okay, what about the bread, والمخبوز, والثياب, المنسوجة, and these garments that have been weaven together, and the likes like this. How do they make praises of Allah? How do they glorify Allah? This is not permissible because these details, these minute details, did not come to us. But rather, what has been mentioned about this affair, and in reality, a believer who never said anything about this affair, and he could not speak about this affair except with the revelation. So the revelation has come, clarifying that every single thing in creation, it glorifies the praises of Allah Azza wa Jal. It glorifies Allah Azza wa Jal and praises Him. But we do not understand how. And Allah did not mention to us the details of that. So therefore, one will not say, okay, this table, what about this book? Okay, how does it praise Allah? And contradicting or opposing or conflicting with the text in this manner, this is not permissible. And this will bring about doubts and the likes like this. But a believer, he will stop there. He will say, Allah, He mentioned that in His book. So therefore, this is something that is truth. This is something that is reality. As for how that occurs, then we do not know that. How does the bread, how does the food and the tea and the coffee, oh, everything praises Allah, then how does it do that? A believer, he'll never ask that. He'll never ask that. Now, he says, رَحِمَهُ وَكُلُّ هَذَا قَدْ صَحَ الْإِلْمُ فِيهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ يُسَبِّحُونَ فَذَلِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ كَيْفَ شَاءَ. So, but what has been reported to us in the knowledge, and that which has been authentically mentioned in the knowledge, and meaning in the revelation, is that these things, they glorify Allah. As for how they glorify Allah, then this is something that Allah knows, and He allows them to glorify Him in a manner that pleases Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَمَا شَاءَ, and however He likes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ لِلنَّاسِ أَنْ يَخُوضُوا فِي ذَلِكَ, and it's not allowed for the people to delve into this affair. Because this is an affair of the unseen, and how that occurs is truly from the unseen, and nobody will be able to know anything about the unseen except by revelation. Naam. So illa bima alimu, except for that which they know, any meaning from the revelation. وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمُوا فِي هَذَا وَشِبْهِهِ, that a people, it's not permissible for them to speak about these affairs and that which is similar to these affairs. Illa bima akhbara Allahu, except for in a manner that Allah has informed. يعني به. نعم. وَلَا يَزِيدُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, they will not go beyond that. نعم. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تَخُوضُوا فِي هَذِهِ الْأَشْيَاءِ الْمُتَشَابِهَةِ. So you must fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, do not delve into these affairs that are unclear. فَإِنَّهُ يُرِيدُكُمُ الْخَوْضَ فِيهِ. فَإِنَّهُ يُرْدِيكُمُ الْخَوْضُ فِيهِ and سُنَنِ الْحَقِّ. Because if you delve into these affairs, then it will cause you to leave the ways of truth. It will cause you to leave the ways of truth and to fall off of the straight path and the ways of haqq and the ways of truth. So therefore, a believer will not delve into the minute details and the reality of how particular issues are. And this is a beautiful example that he mentioned about that. Allah, he mentions that everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies him. But وَلَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحًا, but you don't understand how they do that. So therefore we do not ask. These are from the affairs of the unseen. This is also included in that which the author, she has mentioned in this narration, هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ. هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ, those people who go to extremes and they go beyond the limits and they go to minute details and the affairs with regards to speech and with regards to action. And the next chapter of the author, she has mentioned Al-Jadalu fi ghayri haqq. Al-Jadal fi ghayri haqq, and it means to debate and to argue or to quarrel without right. Without right, and we continue in our next class, insha'Allah ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.